right. So after I kicked y'all around a little bit last week, we're changing vein a little bit. I don't think I told y'all, but I'm doing a complete series called Being All In. And so I think that this is such an important thing. You know, I look around and I see so many people that are dedicated to the Lord. You wouldn't be at the 9 a.m. service if you weren't. And so, you know, the Lord sees you and he sees everything all the time, all the things that you're doing for him. And so praise God. So this week we're going to talk about the topic of consecration. Just as a recap, last week we talked about taking up your cross, taking up the cross for Jesus. And what does that look like? What is it that you have to do to carry your cross? Well, it's a cost. It's not just, I get to follow Jesus and I do all the things and it's great. But no, Jesus sees your heart. He sees everything that you do. He sees your intention behind it. And so it's a big price that you pay to fully be a disciple of Jesus and not just a follower. You have to lay many things aside, put your flesh under, even down to the point where you're putting your flesh under with the very intent of the things that you're doing. Not that the things that you do are enough, but even putting your flesh down with your intents. Not wanting to please people, not doing things in vain. And so we're going to talk about consecration today. And so this can be kind of a scary thing in some ways, because when you hear that, you think, oh, now it's just all about holiness. Now it's all about rituals. And that's not it. Obviously, we know that Jesus, God, so rich in mercy, sent his son for us. And so if God weren't rich in mercy, we wouldn't be talking about this. But God is so rich in mercy that he sent his son to save you. And now you get to be holy. It's not all about the rules and regulations. But we're holy because we love God. And we want to be a temple for him. We don't just throw aside everything and just give him half of what we have. We give him ourselves completely. So to be consecrated is to be wholly devoted. It's to be holy, sanctified. That's what all those things mean. So there's a few people in the Bible that got consecrated. Now you see this a lot in the Old Testament, the specific verbiage of it. You see babies being consecrated. Even Samson, we might talk about him a little bit later. Samson was consecrated for God's work. And honestly, a great example of consecration is Jesus himself. Jesus was wholly devoted, laid down his life for us, right? But he was wholly devoted and he was ready to serve God, whatever God said. He said that he only did what the Father told him to do. He only said what the Father told him to say. And so this is an image of what we should be like. And so we talked about last week, and I'll say it again and again. In order to do the things that Jesus did, we have to do the things that he told us to do. And so, you know, Jesus is a perfect example. We should try to be like him. So how do we do this? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. All right. So I hope y'all are fast flippers in your Bible. All right. So verse 14 says, "Remind them of these things, commanding them before the Lord, that they not argue about words, which leads to nothing of value and to destruction of those who hear them. Study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But avoid profane, foolish babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred, and who overthrow the faith of some. But the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. In a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some are for dishonor." Okay? "One who cleanses himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified fit for the master's use and prepared for every good work. Okay, so he said to cleanse yourself from these things. Well, what are these things? If we go back, we see that he was talking about a time when people were going on and on about different things, and they were kind of twisting the truth. Philetus and Hymenaeus, it says that they erred and they were saying mistruths about what really was going on. And so with that being said, this isn't necessarily the entire picture. The foolish babblings can be anything. Avoid profane, foolish babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. This is verse 16. So, you know, there's a lot of times that things don't start out as sin, right? It starts as just a small thing. Even gossiping. Gossiping starts as not, oh, I want to throw all these people under the bus. I want to talk behind people's backs. It doesn't start that way. It starts as, oh my gosh, did you know? Did you know that that happened? Oh, her poor soul. That sweet girl. Oh, she did this and this. I'm just praying for her. Now, come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about, which obviously there are times that you need to bring something up to pray for it, but not to spread it around and talk and put somebody under the bus. You know what I'm saying? But see how these little things can just disguise themselves so easily. The Bible says that the little foxes spoil the vine. And so it's the little things that creep in that we don't realize. And those are the things that you need to be careful of. Now, we know that sin is sin. And it's easy to fall into sin or just do these things. But it's even easier to find the little things. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's just small. It's just a white lie. I told part of the truth, or leaving things out. Not a big deal. But it's these little things that creep in and they can mess you up. So let's go back. This is what they're talking about. Talking about all these little things that start to creep in. Avoid the small things that lead to sin in the end. You can always look at your heart. We talked about that last week. What is your heart behind everything? Look at your heart. If you don't feel the love of God in that moment, you're probably doing something. You might not be sinning in the moment, but you're probably doing something that's going to lead to it later on. You always look at your heart's intent. Okay, so then when it talks about these vessels, let's go back in verse 20. It says, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some for dishonor. Notice that in this house, it's a large house. God's kingdom is very big, and there's a lot of vessels there. But what kind of vessel do you choose to be for the Lord? See, he doesn't say that you have to be the gold or silver vessel in order to be saved. You didn't have to be anything in order to be saved. You just had to accept Jesus into your heart. But he requires more out of you. Even a clay and wood vessel still has to contain something inside of it. So this isn't to say that you do nothing after you get saved. It's saying quite the opposite. You have to do something after you get saved. You bear fruit in every season. Jesus said that you bear fruit if you're attached to the vine. But there's also many plants that they're not dead, but they might not be the healthiest plants. You may look at one orange tree and it doesn't produce the best oranges it possibly can. But you might go to another farm that takes more care of its soil, of its ground, and it's better oranges. Or it's a better climate, so it's better oranges. So you have to choose what kind of vessel you want to be for the Lord. And so oftentimes you'll hear people say, I just want to be used by God. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. What does God require? He requires that you be holy. He requires that you be a temple for him. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And again, it can be easy in this topic to get off into legalism. And that's not what we're going to do today. Because we believe that God is so rich in mercy. He loves you. So why wouldn't we want to be a holy temple fit for the Holy Spirit? And as well as that, if you're holy and you're ready to be used by the Holy Ghost, how many of you guys truly want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit? If you are holy, you're connected to God. You're always looking to see, God, what is it that you're saying to me? But if you allow sin in, you begin to defile yourself slightly. little by little. And you let the ways of the world creep in. And suddenly the voice of God becomes not so loud to you. It becomes a quiet voice, and the things of the world are so loud. This isn't to say that you're a horrible person. This isn't to say that you were cheating on your wife. This isn't to say that you were doing the worst things. But it's just a small thing. Little things creep in, and then slowly the voice of God becomes smaller and smaller. But not you. Praise God. So I believe today that many people in here want to be a vessel of honor. So let's talk about what is a vessel of honor. Number one, it's not something that's casual. Oftentimes we can come into church and be so casual about things. Not just church, other things as well. You can, your workplace, wherever you go, just casual. Oh, it's okay. I'll just do things to get by. It's the bare minimum. But there's also a theory of being excellent. I'm a temple of God. I should be excellent. I even take it as far as, man, I should take care of my physical body because I love God, because I want to be fit for his service. Now, obviously, this scripture is not talking about your physical body, but even down to the point of everything that I do it with the care of, I love God. I want to be ready for him to use me at any time. God, I love you. I want to resemble you in everything that I say and do. And so if I want to resemble God in everything that I say and do, I'm going to do it well. The Bible says, do everything as unto the Lord, heartily, as unto the Lord. And so how would you do something if Jesus was standing right behind you? Well, we think about, okay, well, if Jesus was standing right behind me, you know, and I'm in worship, well, I'm going to put my hands up and raise them in the air and praise God. But what about all the other days? We don't think about that. What would you do if you're at work in the office and Jesus is standing right behind you? How do you resemble God in that moment? And it's not just, oh man, I'm winning souls, which praise God, you should win souls. You should tell people about Jesus. In fact, you should be so full of the Holy Ghost that people say, I see something on you and I want it. That's what it is. If you truly want to be a vessel fit for God's purpose, you'll become so full of the glory of God that people won't even have to say, oh, what do you believe in? What are you a Christian? If people are asking you, then that's a mental note. I should change some things. If people go up to you and you go, you're a Christian, aren't you? Or you're so full of joy. What is that on you? Happens to me all the time. And I know a lot of people, I've told you guys some funny stories of my catering experiences, some really funny people. But even last night, man, I was working late too. Good Lord, I'm so glad I'm standing up here right now. But anyways, you know, some people sitting down, they're smoking their cigars and they're like, man, you just can't stop smiling all night. And I go, man, I'm so happy. You know, but it's like people see that on you. They see the glory of God. They might not be able to describe it as the glory of God, but they know exactly what it is. So if you want to be a vessel of honor, you're not going to be something that's common. What does common look like? Well, I know a lot of people that go out to bars. They're not getting drunk. They're just having a casual drink with friends. And am I saying that you're going to go to hell for having a drink? No. But here's the whole deal. I will not allow myself to even enter that kind of environment because I know that sin would go on, that there's people around me that will get drunk. And so why would I allow myself to even step into that kind of environment? I'm a vessel fit for honor. I'm a vessel of silver and gold. So you're not going to find a vessel of silver and gold around the wood and the clay vessels. They don't mix. The Bible says that good and evil, they don't go together. They don't go together. You don't find salt water and fresh water out of the same spring. It doesn't happen. And so not to say that, you know, condemn you, you're going to hell, whatever. But I'm saying that you're not a common person. And so you have to see yourself the way that God sees you. Again, we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about the very Holy Spirit indwells you. And so I don't go the places that I used to go. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't hang around the people that I used to hang around. Why is that? Because I'm a vessel for honor. And people will see that on you. Another example. A vessel for honor is not like other vessels. It's not like the clay and the wood vessels. What are the clay and wood vessels doing? Well, they may not be exactly sinning, but they're probably gossiping about people. They may not be exactly sinning, but they might be boasting in what they're doing. They might not be exactly sinning, but they might be talking to other people and saying things that aren't necessarily uplifting. They might not be doing the things that they know to do that are good. And so, as a vessel of honor, I want to honor God with everything that I have. Again, consecration. Lord, I'm laying my life down to you. I'm fully devoted to you. And you'll see so much of the glory of God all over you, should you choose to do that. A vessel for honor, it's filled with good things. You don't take something very expensive and put it in a wood box or in a clay jar. And something that would be very expensive and nice, you would put it in a nice vessel. So the vessel has to be worthy of what kind of thing is going to go inside of it. You need to be a good steward of whatever God is going to give you. And so, I mean, even think about this. If you go to a palace, there's going to be gold and silver. There's not going to be a bunch of junky things from the dollar store. If we take it out of this specific wording, we're not going to go up to the king. Or even, let's take it to real day example. I'm not going to go to the president's house and bring him a vase from the dollar store. He probably has vases from Tiffany, vases from the fanciest, nicest, finest establishments, Swarovski crystal, everything, fancy things. Why? Because we've honored this person and uplifted them. And so on the contrary, if you go in probably to whoever is being a servant to that person or on the helping staff, they don't make as much money. They don't get as much recognition. So they don't have as much nice things. They have lower things, more common. But you're not common. And so serving a king who is so great, God is so great, I would want to choose to be a vessel of honor because I want to honor him. I would want him to trust me with good things. And every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Every good thing. And so every good thing that God prepared for you to walk in, you need to be ready for it. Yeah. Ephesians 2:10. Let's go there. So it says this, for we are his workmanship, creating in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Man, God has some great things that he wants you to do. What are some of those things that God has for you? Well, he has so many blessings in store for you. Even Peter, you see Peter, he walked in the things of God for him. He walked in the plan of God for his life. You saw him working for Jesus. You saw people getting healed in Peter's shadow. But what was the cost of that? He was ready and fit for the use of the Lord. He was a vessel of honor for God. You see him being used. So you look at people like this in the Bible and go, wow, that's great that he got, people were being healed in his shadow. Man, that's great for Peter. That was the Bible, but not now. No, those things are now. You don't have to wait around and go, oh, these people in the Bible were so great. You know, they did such great things, and maybe somebody else, maybe Catherine Kuhlman can do those things, but I don't see myself doing those things. No, God had created you for good works that you should walk in them. He wants you to walk in these good works. He doesn't want you to just do the average Christian daily life with no power. He wants you to be a vessel of honor. Full of the Holy Ghost, full of his power, always listening to God. God, what is the next step? What is it that you would have me say to that person? God will show you so many things. He'll give you all the gifts of the Spirit. You'll start flowing in them if you're connected to the Holy Ghost. But you need to be holy and sensitive to what he's telling you to do. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Be fit for him. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, so let's read it. It says, actually, you know what? I'm going to start in verse 11. Okay. For no one can lay another foundation than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will be revealed. Now, notice that Jesus Christ was the foundation. That was the base. And so, again, like we said, you can choose what kind of vessel you're going to be. The fact that the master has a large house and many vessels in it, okay, you are a vessel. You can be in his house. But what kind do you want to be? Again, the foundation is Jesus, but what do you choose to put on top of that? Are you going to put things that honor God? Are you going to put things that are good on top of that? Or are you going to build upon it with wood and hay that are going to burn up in a fire? Things that won't last. There's a lot of things that we can do that look really good, but they don't last at the end of the day. What are the things that you do for God that are going to last? So let's read it. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will be revealed. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If anyone's work, which he has built on the foundation, endures, he will receive a reward. Now, remember we talked about this again last week, about this reward. Remember the disciples said, oh, Lord, that's great because we're going to eat bread in heaven with you. And then Jesus gave them a stern talking to. But obviously, we don't do things strictly just for the reward. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You diligently seek him, you give him your all, you fully dedicate your life to him, and you best believe he's going to show up in some big ways on your behalf. God's not going to allow you to go through this life just struggling, just getting by. No, he's a good father. He wouldn't do that to you. And so, all right, let's go to verse 14. If anyone's work, which he has built on the foundation, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, still going through the fire. So, you know, you don't do things that are fully honoring to God. You don't do all of the things that he told you to do in the first place. Or even so, maybe you didn't get sensitive enough to the voice of the Holy Ghost that you didn't even know what he wanted you to do. Well, you still made it to heaven, but you don't have much to show for it. And then there's all these people around you who got rewarded for the things that they did on the earth, but not you. Because I believe that every person in here, you're going to do the things that honor God, and you're going to be sensitive to his voice. It's so important. People around you need it. If you even think about it, take yourself outside of the equation. Don't even think about yourself. Think about the people around you. There's so many people that need to see the love of God on you that other people are not reaching. And so if not just for yourself, if not just for the reward in heaven, look at the people around you. They need Jesus. And so then it says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy and you are his temple. So what an honor it is to be the temple of God. And I want you to understand something too. Again, we don't want to get too legalistic about this. But we do need to understand that God sees you as so valuable. This is why you should be holy. Because you are of so great value to him. God loves you. The Bible says, you are of God, little children. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And a lot of people skip over the first part, but how incredible is it that you are of God? You are of God. You're not, It's not just that I have something great inside of me, but I'm also of God and I have something great inside of me. Praise God. So if you're of God, you do the things that God does. You say the things that God says. So we look at Jesus. Jesus, the Word made flesh. I can do everything that Jesus did. I can say everything that Jesus does. But even bigger than that, God loves me just as much as he loved Jesus. And I am just as valuable as Jesus. Think about that again. I am just as valuable as Jesus. And so if you're as valuable as Jesus, you're way too valuable to hang around the wrong people. You're way too valuable to do the wrong things because Jesus paid a high price for your life. You are so valuable to him and you are of God. Anyone that is of God is so valuable. You're not like the people of this world. The people of this world, God loves them, but they don't have that high calling until they meet Jesus. They don't have it. They're living without purpose, but you get to live on purpose. You're not living without purpose. You're living on purpose because God loves you. And so why would we just go by just doing the bare minimum? I'm not even saying that you're doing a horrible thing or a horrible sin. And if you are, then repent. It's that simple. But just the little things. We're not just going to get by, but we actually do the works of Jesus because we're a vessel of honor. Praise God. I want to be used by God. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but truly, I want to see myself raising the dead. I want to see sick people recover every time I place my hand on them. Praise God. And that can be you. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Y'all, I'm not getting too far in my notes. It's good, though. All right. Okay. So, verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Let me qualify this for you. A lot of people will look at this and go, well, I thought I, as a follower of Jesus, was supposed to be reaching out to the people of the world, and now you're saying that I can't hang out with unbelievers? Not necessarily. It's saying don't be unequally yoked together with them. The people that I'm yoked together with are on fire for God. They have a passion and a desire, a zeal for the house of the Lord. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about the people that you choose to do life with. I'm not choosing to do life with all the wrong people who would drag me down, who wouldn't allow me to go further in my walk with God. However, I do allow myself to talk to those people. I'll talk to them. I'll say, hey, come get coffee with me. Let's chat. And I've gotten a few people saved this way and even been able to speak into people's life, begin to disciple them by just going out to coffee with somebody who I know that is an unbeliever, but that's an acquaintance. I don't become unequally yoked together with these people. These people may still be going to the bar. They may still be going to the club, but I'm not going those places with them. I'm not hanging around those places. No, I'm a vessel of honor. But what I do strive to do is take a vessel that maybe is for dishonor, a vessel of wood and clay, and I'm going to say, hey, let's go up higher together. Let me help you. Let me show you what you need to do. But that's not somebody that I'm hanging around all the time. I'm hanging around other vessels for honor, people that I would want to be like. And so anyways, now that we talked about that, let's move on. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What agreement has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he who believes with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, we talked about a lot of these things, but let's stop on that point. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, we look back in the Bible and we see all the idols, right? You see Baal. You see all of these things that people bow down and worship to statue. And we look at that and we go, I would never bow down and worship a statue. Well, those were the older times. What do we have now? We have phones. Oh, don't get me on that one. I mean, even I have had to go, I'm putting down the phone. I'm going to read my Bible now. Praise God. And I think we all have done that. Because what distractions we have in this life. And we talked about that a little bit last week. The distractions that just start to creep in. But before you know it, things can become an idol. Your work can become an idol. Your family can become an idol. All of these things are good, but God should be greater than all of them. And so you have to look back and go, I am the temple of God. All of these things are good, but God comes first to me. I want to honor him first before anything else. Because you honor God first and everything else falls into line. It's easy. But you take God out of the equation, you let other things become first. I mean, not even just because he says it. But when you start putting the other things first, it becomes disarray. It becomes out of order because God never created you for that. What is hell? Hell is the absence of God. So I'm going to say a tough statement. Why would you create hell on earth? Why would you create hell on earth? Just think about that for a minute. And we do it so often. It's so easy to take the cross in vain because it becomes common. It becomes, yes, Jesus died for you. He loves you. That's it. That's it. And then the rest, you don't really do much with. Yes, Jesus died for you. And then you just continue with life as usual. And it's not life as usual. Fellowship with God. That's powerful. That's why being saved is such a great miracle. Because God sent his son. And now no longer do you have to go to a high priest in order to talk to God. You don't have to go to a physical temple because now you are the temple. But you don't have to go to a high priest. And so now being the very temple of God, we get the privilege of fellowship with God. You can talk to God every day. Again, being a vessel fit for honor, you can be sanctified. You can hear the voice of God so clearly because now you know exactly what to do because you fellowship with God. But if you create hell on earth for yourself, that's taking away the presence of God. Oh, no, God, I love you. But then you don't spend any time with him. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died so that you could be reunited to the Father, so that you didn't have to go through all this mess, destroy the entire law, so that you could live by the law of love. How great is that? And so to take that in vain would be plain foolish. You create hell on earth for yourself if you separate yourself from fellowship with God. Not saying that you're unsaved. You can be saved and not fellowship with God, but it's foolish. And also, as a temple of God, I'll say another hard thing. It's basically, if you begin to idolize other things, it's the same thing as being in a relationship and cheating on your partner. It's the same thing as saying, God, you're God on Sunday, but I'm gonna sleep with other people during the week. That's a hard thing to think about. Not saying that you do the worst of the worst things, but just meaning that you begin to idolize other things. To your wife, oh, you're my wife on Sunday, but during the week, I'll still come home to you. I'll still talk to you. I'll come see you after work, but I'm just going to go sleep with some other women during the week. And so often we do that to God. Hard to think about, but we do. There's a lot of things that we begin to place above God. Even money. Money can be a big thing. Oh, Lord, I just want to make money for your kingdom so I can give into your kingdom. Well, that sounds great. It really does. And I like to make some money now. Come on. We believe in money here in this church. We're not saying that you need to be broke. But it shouldn't take place over God. If my efforts to make money become so great that I now no longer have time for God, I've messed up bad, really bad. Even if I'm giving all the money to him, I've messed up bad because now I don't even have fellowship with him. He doesn't even care. It didn't matter. So now let's go. It says, verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live in them and I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. What an honor it is to be God's people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So he says, come out from among them. We're talking about the unbelievers. We're talking about the people who go about doing things that are unequally yoked. And I'll even say there's some believers that you'll have to separate yourself from. The best advice that I've ever heard is run 100 miles per hour towards God, and anyone who can keep up, you should keep with you. See, there's a natural separation that happens. I know a lot of people. I told you guys again, I work in catering. And I love all of these people. God loves them. God loves them so much. He sent his son for them too. But until they receive it, there's not a thing that he could do for them. They have to receive that. And so these people, they like to go to the club. They like to go to the bar. Not condemning, they're just lost. So they're not held to the same standard that I hold myself to. But there becomes a natural separation. You don't even have to start, you know, shoving people out of your life, but it can become very easy. Oh, no, I'm not going to talk about that person. Oh, man, people really don't like to hear that. They start gossiping. I remember one time this lady looked at me and goes, oh, don't you love gossip? And I said, no. And then she was just like, but it was really funny for me. I have a good time messing with people. But just there becomes a natural separation when other people are not doing what God would require, and then you are. There's a lot of things that naturally happen. And so when I first started working, everyone's like, oh, man, we're going to the club. No, I'm okay. Thank you. Well, why? Why? Oh, I don't go there. I'm so content on my own. I don't need all that stuff. I don't need the drugs. I don't need the alcohol. I'm so content. And they, oh, I am too. Oh, why are you going to the club? Oh, nobody has an answer for that one. All right. Praise God. Anyway, you know, just step on some toes real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Okay, I'm actually going to start in verse 4. This is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way. Love this verse. Because look, you can walk in these things. So I'm going to read it to you. It says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me tell you something. You become so ready to hear the voice of God. You become so fit for God's use. The power of God flows through you. See, what was Paul doing this time? He was proclaiming the gospel. He was fit for God's use. He was doing the things that Jesus did. He was telling people, telling the world. He was preaching the gospel. So it says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. When you become so fit for God's use, when you become someone that is truly God, I want you to use me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. Whatever you say is fine, God. Then you really can step out of that boat and start working. And so you don't even have to explain away about things, but even the glory of God just shows up. Like I was telling you, people will look at you and just know, oh, that's God on them. That's God on that person. They'll see the power of God moving around you. Sick people, oh, let me pray for you. They get healed. That's God. I mean, it'll be things so undeniable that it couldn't happen in a natural circumstance, that it is so very much God. So, and it says, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power of God is getting ready to show up on your behalf. Anytime that you live in such a manner to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, anytime that you live in such a manner of wholly devoted to God, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I'll just do it. Start not questioning anymore. Stop questioning God. Stop when you feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, do this. And then you sit in your seat a little longer. This has happened to me before. The Lord gave me a word for somebody and I just sat and I was like, should I? And then I finally do it. But you can get to the point where you just don't hesitate. The voice of God becomes clear. But stop hesitating in the things that God tells you to do. Just do them on the spot. Power of God. You'll see the power of God work so, so strong on your behalf. So then, all right, verse 6 says, yet we speak wisdom among those who are mature, although not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, oh my gosh, that's such a tongue twister, which God ordained before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, we know that God loves everyone, but this verse in particular is talking about those who love God. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, obey my commands. If you love me, obey my commands. How does God know that you love him? You obey his commands. Same way a child, if they respect their parent, they're going to do what their parent tells them to do. And so if you truly love God, you're going to do what he says to do. And if you are this kind of person, if you are the kind of person who is ready to do what God tells you to do, this is what it says. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the hearts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, if you are someone who loves God, here is the great news. This has been a tough thing to hear, but here is where it turns, and it is great news. God has some things in store for you that you cannot even imagine. They are so good that you can't imagine them. No one has even heard of this kind of a thing happening before. It's so good. Nobody has seen such a spectacular thing happen before because you love God. Praise God. He has great things in store for you. Ephesians 3:20. I'm just going to read it to you. You guys don't have to turn. I'm already there. My Bible flips straight to it. Now, first of all, if you go back, it does say that you have to bow your knee to Jesus in order for this to happen. But Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What does it say? According to the power that works in us. So if you're not seeing all of these over and abundant great things, check yourself. Am I allowing God to work through me? Am I allowing God to speak into my heart about things I need to correct or change? Because I don't know about you, but I want to see these things that are over and abundant. It's not just enough. God didn't just stop at, oh, the things that you wanted, I'm going to give them to you. But God is so good that he wants to give you even more than you even asked for. He wants to give you over and above, over your wildest dreams. He has such good things in store for you that you can't even imagine. Right now, you see yourself at a level, and you don't see yourself getting up higher than that. But I say in the name of Jesus, you're coming up higher than that right now in the name of Jesus. And that's a word of the Lord for you. Praise God. But don't limit God. I'm going to get into my sermon a little bit for next week. We're going to talk about not limiting God. But truly, you can get to a point so great in your relationship with God that it just gets higher and higher every day. Things that you wouldn't even imagine happening, they happen. But take the limit off of God. When we start going, oh God, I can do this, but I don't see myself doing this. You're limiting God. We have a covenant with God. God's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. He's not going to force you to say anything you don't want to say. But when you take the limits off of God and go, God, I believe that we can do anything. Praise God. It says, for with God, all things are possible. With God. And praise God, you are of God. And so even yourself, You see other people doing things. Oh, they did great things. That's awesome. Yeah, I believe with God all things are possible. But you don't believe that for yourself. In my life, with God, all things are possible. In my personal walk, all things are possible with God. Take the limit off of God for a minute. Take the limit off. I can do and walk just the way that the people in the Bible walked. You walk with God to such a deep, deep and intimate point. You can get as close to him as you want to. Praise God. That's just, it's the same thing in a relationship. It's as close as you want to make it. He's not going to force himself to come down and be with you all the time. Because if you don't want it, then what's the point? You don't want to be around someone who doesn't want to be around you. Have you guys ever been in a conversation with somebody and they're looking at other people and you're just like, I don't want to talk to you. Come on now. That's the worst. I'm like, oh, I gotta go. I'll see you later. Or you really feel like there's something important I need to tell this person. And we do that to God. Don't do that to God. Praise Jesus. But anyways, I think I'm about done. But I just want to let you know today, God has such good things in store for you. If you leave and didn't hear a single word that I said today, I just want to let you know that God has great things in store for you today if you choose to walk in them. God has great things in store. He prepared you beforehand for good works that you should walk in them. And so, you know, if God, a lot of people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I'm here. Well, your purpose is God created you for good works that you should walk in them. And so, why would you take the very plan of your God, or very plan of God for your life and throw it to the side? Oh, it's okay, but somebody else can do that. I don't know if I can do that. No. See yourself the way that God sees you. See Jesus' blood on the cross. You look at yourself and you think, well, I've defiled myself. I'm not good enough for that. But you are. You are good. God is ready to use you in some great ways. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and take up an offering right now. So praise Jesus. I'm going to go to Proverbs real quick. All right, so Proverbs chapter 3. Let's start in verse 2, or actually verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace will they add to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In this chapter, we always skip to the money part. But I want to tell you today, as you begin to give, as you begin to sow seed in the ground, whatever God would lay on your heart to give, obviously we do tithe here, but whatever else God says on top of that for you to give, I want to tell you today the good news. You trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Even when it comes to the area of finances, we talked today about creating yourself as such a holy vessel for God to use. But I want to tell you, you can trust God in every area of your life, even in your finances. Not just in, oh God, I'm stepping out, I trust you in this thing that I'm doing. But even in your finances, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. When you try to crunch the numbers and make it work out, you know, there's a lot of natural things that you can do to make money. There's a lot of natural ways to save money, a lot of great accounts, investments you can do. But those are all of man. And see, these things do work to a certain point. I like to put money in investments. I like to save money. But what would you do if there was a supernatural way? I don't know about you, but I like God's way way better than mine. God's ways are higher. And so it says, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so today, as we begin to give, we are ready to acknowledge God. I trust that today as you give, and as you truly sow seed with the full heart of God, I want to be used by you. God, I love you. And that's why I'm sowing my seed today. I love the house of the Lord. Praise God. God will direct your paths. You'll see things open up that didn't open up before. You can break some barriers in the realm of giving, but even when you give to spiritual things, you will reap in spiritual things. That's how sowing and reaping works. And so I'm telling you today, as you give, keep that in mind. I'm sowing into spiritual things, and therefore I am reaping in spiritual things. Mix your faith with it. Don't just come up and put money in the offering bucket. Oh, I just lost 20 bucks. No, you gained a lot. First of all, God is blessing your finances. You sow finances, you're going to reap finances. But you also sowed into spiritual things. So therefore, you're also reaping spiritual things. Praise God. The guidance of God, you're going to have. You're going to not have to lean on your own understanding. He's going to guide you and direct your path. God's plan for your life. Amen? Well, praise God. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then you guys can come up and give. Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that we are ready to be used of you. I thank you, Jesus, right now, every person in this room, that we are so ready and we dedicate ourselves, our lives to you. God, we don't want to do a single thing outside of you. Thank you, Father. The Bible says, in him, we live and move and have our being. And so we thank you, Lord, everything that we do it all to your glory, all for the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May your name be exalted in every single thing that we do. And we praise you, Father, for our giving right now. We thank you, Lord, that we are getting ready to reap the biggest harvest we've ever reaped. We mix our faith with it right now, and we say that we reap a harvest financially and spiritually. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us into the deeper things of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.